they first were talking about the zoning and started to zone Hillsborough County. And we knew that was coming. We didn't know what was going to happen to us. And then right after that, after my tenure as officer of the Showman's Club, and then I was the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce here, and it was at that time that the zoning really started to get to be an issue. And we had meetings with the Zoning Commission, and they came out to the clubhouse, and we had had open meetings, and they were very nice, and they listened, and so on. USA Bar. And Andy really went to the front on that. And it was also helpful because he was here all summer when many of the rest of us were gone, you know. And so we have a zoning classification here that is unknown anywhere else. I guess it's the first in history, and it's called Circus Carnival Residence Winter Quarters, which means that I can park a truck in my backyard, erect a tent back here, and paint my equipment as long as I erect a fence between my house and the neighbor's house that is 80% opaque so it does not disturb their aesthetics. And when this was first coming up, and there was one fellow who was kind of against the show folks, and some of us, and I still do, if you notice, I do not have that on, of course, my house is no longer my winter quarters, but it was then, and I've never put up such a fence. And we probably had a couple hundred people at the meeting, and I asked the chairman for permission to ask those in attendance who were property owners in the area to raise their hands if they had been burglarized, and about 98% of them, because this is a terrible problem here. If you go on vacation and you don't have the milk delivery or the mail delivery and the newspaper stopped, perhaps nobody notices that you're gone. But when you have got trucks parked in your yard and people know that you're in a business where you're going to take those trucks out and be gone for 6 months to make a living, very obviously you're gone. And there's cases where the people haven't been out of town 4 hours and the burglars have been breaking down their doors here. And it is a severe problem. And that's why I don't have any nice furniture, because I'd love to have a beautiful home. But I had some pretty nice furniture in here, and a couple of years ago they backed up a truck and took it all. And so, you know, why? So anyway, at the point that I was making there was, some years ago, we cut down all of the bushes around the houses so that the neighbors would have better access to viewing your property, so that if they saw somebody, you know, they could call the sheriff. And now you want us to put up 8-foot opaque fences to hide the view from the neighbors, and this will just aggravate the problem. And so they've kind of been lenient with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so right now we have a good situation. We have many people with, like you mentioned, Billy has leopards and birds, and we have people with bears in town, and people with chimpanzees, and people with lions, and people with elephants. And it's all legal for them to have them here. So
that's good.
And as long as we can have that kind of zoning, the area will prosper for show people.
I know you're saying the sideshows are kind of a dying art. Is there anything else that's associated with the traveling shows that are dying arts?
Yes. Of course, medicine shows. At one time, there were over 400 in the United States, and they are non-existent. Tent rep shows. At one time, I guess there were like 300. They're non-existent. Everything gets replaced with something else. They took the medicine show out from under the tent and they put it in a little box in your living room. Mm-hmm. The tent rep shows the same thing, you know. In the carnival business, you don't have to go too far back. And a major carnival would have a big girl review and then a smaller girl show, which would usually be what they called a posing show. They'd have a big colored review, a motorcycle thrill show, a Wild West show, a water review, the big circus sideshow, an illusion show, a trained animal show or a monkey show, sometimes a Wild West show. And today there is one trained monkey show left that has played one spot, and that was for us last year in Columbus in the past 4 years. And I don't think they're making any big plans to take it out again. There are no more Wild West shows. There are no more water shows except the one we had in Columbus this last year. There are no more big musical reviews, no more colored reviews. There's a few, two, three motorcycle shows around yet. But again, it's the economics. It's for the same reason that the sideshows have died out. Back in the old days, a carnival not only furnished all the equipment for those big shows, but with the reviews, they gave them a guarantee. And much of the time, those shows would actually show a deficit on the season. And today, if you wanted to take out a big review, which we did this last summer, and I don't know, we probably got at this point $500,000 stuck in it. Not $250,000. And it's a show that I would not even consider trying to operate it on a carnival, except where I set it down and got paid flat for it. Because there is no way that show could set on a carnival midway today and sell enough tickets at the marketable carnival price and get the overhead. We are marketing it now. We're taking it out this year, and we're probably going to make 25 weeks with it. Most of it is where we're selling it directly to the fairs, and it's not even going to be associated with the carnival. And we play some theaters with it and so on. But when you go into a theater with this show, and we can charge $18 top, and you can get it. Take the same show out on a carnival, and $2 is about the top. So there's no way. The economics just don't balance. It's not there. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happened to the business. On the other extreme, carnival rides. Well, Rod Link, who is a friend of mine who owns the Link shows, bought the Olsen shows, which was a 35-car railroad show. And I'm not exactly when, if it was in the late 50s or the 60s, but he paid less than half as much for that entire big railroad carnival as you would pay today for one big ride. The carnival rides today are up, the big rides are up in the range of by the time you buy trucks to transport them and the light plant to operate them and so on, you're talking about $500,000. And I think that it's a thing that once they operate, that once you take a ride and you put it in operation, the biggest of the rides can be efficiently operated by 5 or 6 men. And if you take a big review, we've got 20 people on stage, plus the band, plus the crew, and again, the economics doesn't balance.
Well, you own a big top tent,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what do you take your show out with? This
that's
big top?
Yeah, the review that I'm talking about. We put in the big top. Mm-hmm. That's the one we're using this tomorrow, but there for the wrestling, and we have already outgrown it. It's not big enough, and we're negotiating right now to buy another one, about twice
the
size.
Can you find people make them?
Oh, yeah, there's tent makers, oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, that should be a dying art.
No, actually, there's, well, it is and it isn't. There are a lot less tent makers than there were back in the 20s, 30s. Baker Lockwood out of Kansas City. There was a couple of big companies in New York. Driver Brothers in Chicago. O'Henry in Chicago. Anchor in Evansville, Indiana. That I can think of right quick. And there were many more that made circus big tops and so on. And the Ringling Show at that time made all their own canvas. Today the principal manufacturer of circus big tops is Leaf Tent Awning in Sarasota. Most of the carnival tents are probably made by Anchor in Evansville, Indiana. And there's a few others around. And there's a new company now that's making a big top for a friend of mine in Dallas called Bruno. Tents by Bruno. And this is a gentleman from Italy. And the finest tents in the world are made in Italy. They make the American-made tents look like something that fell out of the back of the trash wagon by comparison. But it's their design is entirely different, and their superstructure and everything is different than the American-style tent. And Americans have never gone to that European style very much because they are not as portable. And the American circus generally was a one-night stand, and European style was 6 weeks.
So they could stay up, yeah. Did you ever have any trouble with your tents burning down or anything like that?
I'll knock on wood, I've never had a fire. I've had lots of blowdowns. So with the circus one time, we had 8 blowdowns in 7 days in Wyoming. With Carnival, I had in Jamestown, North Dakota in 1962. Was it 60? Yeah, 62. I had 2 blowdowns in 24 hours. We've been very fortunate in the last few years that we have not had a blowdown. We've had some terrible storms. But also, I've got to give the credit there to my partner, Chris, because since he has been in charge of our company, we haven't had a blowdown. But he is very, very conscientious about how the show is put up. And, I think back in the old days, you know, we'd kind of wait till we saw the storm coming and we'd put out the storm guys. And he puts all of the extras and the storm guys down and everything before it ever goes up. So,
how many people does it take to put it up?
Oh, we generally use a crew of about 10 on that show.
Do you feed them and everything? Do you?
No, not anymore. Used to at one time. That got to be too much, shall we?
Do you pay board, like to the performers?
One way or another. You pay their board, you pay their room, you pay their gas. Another thing, some shows, they pay the gas, and other shows say, oh, gas is too expensive, and I won't buy the gas for the actors. This is ridiculous, because one way or another, you're going to pay for it. And so we pay gas, and we just figure the cost of all our other expenses in their salaries.
And so now when they go to a town, I guess you used to stay in railroad cars?
Yeah, the railroad shows. Mm-hmm. There are 4 railroad shows in existence. 2 carnivals, Royal American and James E. Straits, and the 2 Ringling Circuses.
But now if you go to a town, what, they stay in motels?
Some of them. Now, like, for instance, with our chorus girls and musicians and so on, the Review, we motel them. Most of the sideshow people and the other people have their own trailers and living accommodations on the lot.
What about kids growing up in the business? Do they tend to stay with it or leave? Or what?
Most of them stay.
do they?
Yeah, I would say the great majority of the kids stay in the business. First of all, because if a child grows up in the business, they are exposed. If it's a circus family and they're performers, usually the child's training as a performer starts by the time they can walk. And this is generally why, and it's not true anymore, but why some years back, all the best performers were from foreign nations, because there were no American circus families per se. And so an American who wanted to get into circus business, like myself, I was never a good performer. I never started to learn to do anything until I was 16. And so the kid that started when he was two, he's already got 14 years of training and experience, you know, and it makes a lot of difference. In the carnival business, of course, the majority of the carnival business is concessions, so I'll put it in that respect, or rides. A kid grows up around a ride, he learns how to fix the ride, and he becomes interested in the mechanics, and pretty soon his father will buy him a ride, or he'll buy a ride, a small one, and go from there. Or the same thing with the games. They learn the game business, and they know which games are more lucrative than the others, and where to take them, of course, is very important. I grew up in the circus business, and bought a sideshow from a defunct carnival when I was 21. I had never been but for a few weeks one year around a carnival. And with the circus, all I knew was that that the agent booked the show and the bill posters came in and hung the posters and you put up the show and you sold tickets, and some towns were good and some towns were bad, and it was all just try to second guess the public. And so I didn't know anything about the carnival business, and my God, how I could have been so stupid now, I wonder, you know. But I didn't know the good spots and the bad ones. And the law of average, I should have had a good one once in a while, but I didn't for several years. And there's a tremendous, you know, difference in fares. And it's so obvious. That's why I say I don't see how I could have been so stupid, because obviously if you play Dallas, Texas, it draws 3 million people, you've got to get a lot more money than Podunk, Ohio, that draws 3,000 people, you know. And I didn't play any of the good ones.
Which do you like better, the circus or the carnival?
Well, now, that's a hard question to answer. I don't like the carnival when it's just a carnival. That is to say, what the carnival plays is still late and the carnival just sets by itself out in a lot. I really don't enjoy that too much. I like fairs and I dearly love the circus, but I don't like moving every day. At one time, that was fine, didn't bother me, and I loved it. But at my age anymore, I like to take things a little slower pace. And what I really like best of all is to do the review, which has the elements of the circus, the production, the band, and we put some circus-type acts in it, playing fairs, doing 2, 3, 4 shows a day.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're... I know you're involved in a lot of things right now. What all are you doing now?
Right now, well, we've got the wrestling. I won't call it a show. It's not a show. Wrestling events that are under the Big Top that open tomorrow, and we will continue to do those, which really is my partner's function. I'm putting together new production numbers and so on for the season's review. And I will personally oversee the review during the year. We will operate the circus sideshow. We will have probably 2 or 3 single-o shows out on the fair circuit. Excuse me. We'll be doing at least one big pay one price fair that we know where we're going to do probably a water show, a Wild West show, and a automobile motorcycle thrill show. And then we have permanent wax museums at Seaside Heights, New Jersey, and Wildwood, New Jersey, and an oddities museum of inanimate objects in Salisbury Beach, Massachusetts. We have an illusion show in Salisbury. We have an illusion show in Wildwood. And in the meantime, we are willing to go out and expend a little effort in the behalf of some movie company.
What is the review you mentioned?
The review, all right. It's the name of the show is Wondercade. And it has four production numbers with this year we're going to use 12 girls and four boys in the line. And then we have a comedy musical act, a unicycle act, a juggling act. And then we have another thing of comedy act with costume characters. And then throughout the thing is the Great Houston, the magician with the illusions.
And where will that be booked? Where would you book that?
We're going to play some shopping centers and some amusement parks and fairs.
Okay. Now, would you take that act together, say, with the sideshow to some of the same fairs? Or?
Yeah, we'll play probably. We might end up at three or four fairs where the sideshow is, you know, but we don't book it as a package.
Right. Sounds like you're busy.
You do all the booking and everything too.
Chris does most of the booking. I do some of it. And
yeah, that's spreading yourself.
I do the book work, which I despise, but I do it.
Yeah.
And then I oversee the. I create the production numbers and so on for the review and select the music and. Stamp my foot and make the girl spit out the chewing gum. Things like that.
Well, do you rent a rehearsal hall around here?
Not here. We usually do it up country.
Okay. What, in New Jersey? Or
no, we rehearsed in Columbus, Ohio last year.
Okay.
How long do you usually have to rehearse before it's all ready to go out?
If I had my druthers, I would like to rehearse about 5 weeks. And usually we... are lucky we get about five, six days. And
right.
Very fortunate that I have a very good crew. I've got a band leader, that conductor who's very good, and the magician. Got good people around, a good stage manager.
So with chorus girls or dance steps, things like that, do you get a choreographer?
Right.
Or you?
Okay. I'm not a dancer.
Okay. But
I know what I want them to do, and
right.
I can tell them, you know, this is the picture I want now, you know.
Okay. Well, the other thing that we wanted to talk to you about, I think, question is, as Peggy mentioned earlier when we were sitting down, that one of the things that we're working on is this radio series.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we're working on is the folk festival that we put on every year up at White Springs on over Memorial Day weekend. It's a 4-day thing, Friday through Monday. And at least for the last few years now, we've been picking, I guess, one or two groups, either occupational or ethnic group or whatever, to kind of highlight and emphasize, although we'll have all kinds of things going on over those 4 days. So this year, one of the groups we wanted to focus on were show people involved in traveling, entertainments, medicine shows, circus, carnival, etc. And your name has popped up several times in many conversations as a good source person and a good person who might know of some people. Bob and May Knoll will be coming up to do medicine show. Billy Rogers gave us a couple of good leads for circus people, and so did Joe McKinnon. And we wondered if you knew of any people that would be good. Now, we're thinking, I guess, in terms of people that are sort of semi-active or... Mm-hmm.
Kind of retired.
Kind of retired, but could still put an act together. And also, I'm starting to realize when we use the word act, we probably don't mean it in the same way that you all would mean it. I mean, we don't mean full-blown production numbers, but I mean, you work with the Smithsonian, so you probably have some idea.
Right at off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone. Have to find out who is still going to be around at that time, because
it's
getting
a
into
bad
the season.
Time.
I won't be here.
Will any of your people be here at all?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
It's not. That's not impossible. You know.
Uh-huh.
It depends on our schedule and what we have to build.
Oh, I know.
Because if we have to build some special effects, a scenery or a front or something for some show to be presented at a fair, then we'll still have the shop going down here. And no doubt, you know, I could get you some people from the shop.
When we were talking to Billy Rogers, we were telling him, trying to explain, you know, what we were going to be doing mainly. We try to have people who can kind of talk to the public about what show life is like, mm-hmm. and what the traditions are, and coming at it from the angle of a long history of show people and what's involved behind the scenes, mm-hmm. as well as what people see and, you know, when they come to a carnival, say. And so we're hoping to have someone actually making some costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Billy was going to bring up some of his... things from his shop, and he mentioned that there is a woman that works for you. That
Marge?
Marge Porter.
Yeah.
Would she maybe be around?
Mm-hmm.
She
would probably be here, although, again, I'm not positive, because Memorial Day weekend is the opening of all the wax museums up the coast. And Marge does all our costuming for them, and usually goes up in the spring and does the hair and that could be a very busy time for her. I'll have to find out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you could find out for us, because if it was possible, like I know Billy said he'd be coming up, and, you know, it would be a matter of, you know, just having someone who could actually show people how a costume gets put together. He was also going to bring a few of his birds and do a very small bird.
Talk about how they're trained and maybe do some of the... tricks and things that he's gone through, and then answer questions. And he gave us a couple of names of
a juggler,
and a dog act. Where what is his name? I got it written down. Eric Adams. Eric Adams, where he could talk to people how the dogs are trained, and also maybe have them do a couple of things and stuff like that.
Somebody would be good for you there is Al Antonucci, because he is retired, lives here in town, and had a chimp act. He does not have any chimps now. And his wife does a high pole act. She still works.
Would she be on the road then?
Again, you know, naturally if she gets a job, she'll be on the road, but that's not too likely at that particular time for that act.
What is his, Al?
Antonucci.
A-N-T-U-C-C-I.
That's not right.
N-U-C-C-I?
Remind me when we get down here and I'll look it up for you.
Okay.
Okay. And what's his wife's name?
April Fawcett.
April Fawcett, okay.
F-O-S-S-E-T-T. Okay. Hers is a long lineage of a very famous English circus family.
Really?
Oh, really?
They all did?
Lord George Fawcett, I think, was the one of them.
Huh.
Now, what's involved in a high pole?
It's an acrobatic act performed on a swaying pole 100 feet in the air.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, in terms of transporting, because we obviously we would be able to supply some props in terms of, I mean, stages and things like that, but nothing, you know, super elaborate.
Their stuff is all self-contained.
Okay. Also, he mentioned, I don't know if there's like a class or type of acts, he said that Billy had said that you might be good to think of just strolling acts.
Yeah.
Pitch.
I guess pitch people or...
Garland Parnell, who is the got the organ grinder monkey thing.
Oh, yeah, that
and,
would be
he lives
great.
Over here, and I'm quite sure he is not going to be booked at that time. He goes out a little later than that, I think.
Okay.
That's Parnell. Yeah. He's here in town. Pitchman, Wayne Murray would be a good contact for you for the pitchman. Do they? The pen pitches and the kitchen gadgets and the horoscopes and the embroidery machines and all that sort of thing.
Great.
Is that kind of a dying art, or there's still very many people who can pitch?
No, there's quite a lot of people still doing that.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah, that is good. How did they come up? Would they just come up with their own pitches, or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Listen to other people.
Uh-huh.
Pick up. Huh.
The item is only as good as the pitchman.
Uh-huh. Well, because I want, are there any, like, sort of standard phrases?
Oh, well, certainly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every pitch has a standard, you know, thing. I did a record album of pitches for Smithsonian.
You did?
Great.
How can we get a copy of that?
Candy pitch. There was this, a magic pitch, candy pitch, sideshow opening, girl show. Pitch various, you know. I don't know if they ever released it.
Well, I know they've been doing a lot of work with just business.